Welcome back, everybody, to this special edition of the Unfair Advantage Show. Why do I call this a special edition? Because this is going to be a teaching. I want to encourage you and exhort you on something probably you've not thought about before. And here is the focus of today's teaching. Jesus, the greatest marketplace disruptor. Wait a minute, why do you say Jesus as a marketplace disruptor? Didn't he come to save people, to introduce them to heaven and so much more? Yes, yes, yes. But actually, I want to make a case that the first and the last public appearances that Jesus made was actually marketplace-focused, business-focused disruption. And I want to encourage you that perhaps Jesus is preparing you to be a marketplace disruptor just like him. I want us to begin with what the word disrupt means. What does the word disrupt? Here's a definition of disrupt. To break apart. To interrupt the normal course or unity of. To break up, to bust, disintegrate, dismember. I don't see Jesus like that. Well, hold on. John chapter 2. Now we're getting into the beginning of the teaching about how Jesus was a business disruptor. John 2, he's just come out of the desert, just came out of the big wedding where he performed his first miracle. He was coming into Jerusalem for Passover. And what was the very first thing recorded in John 2, verse 13, or verse 12, of what he did as he approached the temple? He was coming down Solomon's columns. And the first thing he did was this. Now, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, verse 13, John 2. And he went up to Jerusalem, and he found those in the temple, Solomon's colonnade, who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers, the bankers, doing business. Verse 15. When he had made a whip of cords. Now, wait a minute, think about this. First time Jesus comes in the anointment, and he's making a whip of cords on Passover in front of thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews coming to celebrate the festival. He made a whip of cords. He drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the money changers' tables and overturned them. The very first public display of Jesus coming out of the desert in spirit and in power was turning over money changers' tables in the temple. What was he saying in his first public display of the power of his ministry? This is what he was saying. He's saying, boys, you dishonest, disruptive, evil men taking far more money than is really necessary, making my people poor for their offerings to our God. You money changers are evil, and I'm coming to disrupt not only a religious system, but also a marketplace system, a monetary system, a business system. I'm going to bankrupt you. Why do I say bankrupt? Those money changers had big, large wooden tables. That the Italian word for these tables that had drawers that had all the various currencies of all of the world in there, and they would exchange money so people could buy the doves and the goats. That was called a BANC, bank, the Italian word for bank, BANC. When an evil money changer, when they go out of business, the way that people knew at that time that that money changer went out of business, someone would turn, the leaders would turn over the tables. They would turn them over, and they would call that being ruptured, bank ruptured. Jesus came and bankrupted an evil monetary system as his very first public display of his ministry. He, at the beginning, he said, I'm a disruptor. Is he the Prince of Peace? Yes. But when he came to this world, he even said himself, 1 John 3:8, John says, and the Son of Man was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Matthew, Jesus said himself in chapter 10, verse 34 to 39, don't think I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to set man against father, daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies by those of his own household. He who loves a father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He goes on, for you know, if you lose your life for my sake, you'll gain it. Matthew 11:12, one more verse about how Jesus was a disruptor from the very beginning. From the days of John the Baptist, Matthew 11, verse 12, Amplified Version. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violent assault. He brought the kingdom of heaven to the earth, and violent men seize it as a special prize. Friends, I just want to exhort you to consider it this way. As businessmen and businesswomen led by the Spirit of God, that there are times when we're called to be a marketplace disruptor. Maybe it's time for you to start thinking about, you know, I've been doing the same thing for a lot of years. I've been kind of getting in my flow. I've got a sense that maybe I should be taking a different approach to business. Maybe there's a new way. Maybe there's a new way that Jesus wants me to go in my marketplace for His glory. Maybe it's time for me to disrupt some of the systems that I see around me. It might be. Well, here's what I want to do. I want to share with you just 5 ways to be a marketplace disruptor, all based upon the Word of God. Side note, what I'm sharing with you, these 5 ways of being a marketplace disruptor, is one of the most popular blog posts in my history. Over the 10 years I've been writing blogs and newsletters, this one is the one that I get more comments on than just about anything else. And in fact, if you'd like to get more of this type of teaching in newsletter form, come to drjimharris.com, sign up for my weekly newsletters, and you will be able to read more like this every week in terms of ways that you can, in this particular case, be a marketplace disruptor. Come to drjimharris.com and follow me in the newsletters. Now, 5 ways. This will go quick. But I want to challenge your thinking. If you're sitting down and you have a pen or pencil, have your phone handy, make notes, because these 5 ways are ones I'm encouraging you how you can be more of a marketplace disruptor to the glory of God, just like Jesus. Number 1, Jesus swam upstream. How was he a marketplace disruptor? Jesus swam upstream. What does that mean, Jim? For any of you that have watched over the last couple of years, the phenomenal movie series, The Chosen, their opening video, their opening sequence are all of a bunch of fish swimming in one area, and then one fish turns around and swims back another area. That fish was swimming upstream, going against what everybody else was doing in a new and different way. In fact, in America, Sam Walton in the 70s, how did he become so successful? He was once asked in an interview, why did you choose to go to small towns instead of going to large urban areas like everybody else? And Sam answered, if everyone in big box retailing was going to big cities, I knew there was more opportunity in the smaller towns than the big towns. He swam upstream. He went against the grain. Luke 12:51 says, do you think that I not come to bring peace on earth? No, but rather division. Same as I mentioned earlier. I encourage you, look at the way your current business is operating. Look at the traditional business standards of whatever industry might be, finance, construction, banking, whatever it might be, and ask yourself, how can I challenge the conventional wisdom of how things are done through a new biblical lens? There might be some radical fresh thinking the Lord is waiting for you to ask Him to say, yes, I've been wanting you to ask this of me for a long time. I want you to swim upstream. I want you to go against the grain of how so much evil is going on across businesses and industries all around the world. We could spend hours on that alone. It might be time for you to step back and say, Lord, do you want me to swim upstream? That's what I'm doing. I went from being in a for-profit business to now a business for ministries, or ministries for business. Now I'm a 501c3. I depend on your support to make this happen. And I'm swimming upstream saying, you know, we need to unleash the full power of Holy Spirit in business, because we just can't do things the way we've always done it on our own power. We need the power of Holy Spirit to do what we do. So I'm literally an example of someone swimming upstream in a radical new way and getting phenomenal results so far. Jesus swam upstream. Maybe it's time for you to take a radical new approach for yourself. That's 1. Here's a 2nd way that Jesus was a marketplace disruptor, and you might want to consider this too. Jesus refused to patch old systems. Jesus refused to patch old systems, Mark 2:22. And no one puts new wine in old wineskins. You've heard this before many times. If you're a believer, you've heard this story many times. If you do put new wine in old wineskins, the wineskin will burst and the wine will be destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins. A dear friend of mine locally, Pastor Gary Porter of Encounter Church, he handed this to me just a few weeks ago. It's a new wineskin. He said, Jim, the Lord told me to give you this new wineskin because what you're doing is a new wineskin. I was told 5 years ago through prophetic intercessors that I was stepping into a time where I was being prepared as a new wineskin. In fact, I encourage you to come to my YouTube channel and listen to the interview with Scott Flora on business intercession. He was one that prophesied that over me many years
ago.
There may be a new wineskin that Jesus is asking you to consider. And in fact, for me, my new wineskin was teaching the power of Holy Spirit to business people. That just happens to be my new wineskin. There might be a new wineskin for you. In other words, don't look at your business and just try to fix the stuff that's wrong with it now. God may have been preparing you in your spirit, and I sense right now there's some of you listening to this, that you know it's time for you to make a significant shift in your own career. It might be within your same ministry or maybe into an entirely new line of work. But I know there's some of you that are doing that. They're hungry to try something new and different. You just don't want to patch old systems, that you're ready to step into a new wineskin. Pray into that. And the way I like to say it tongue-in-cheek, if you're in a career, if you're in a job right now, if you're on a dead horse, dismount. I know it's a simple, silly thing to say, but I often say that to business executives. That line of work, that part of your business, that's a dead horse, man. Why don't you dismount? Cut the losses and move on. A gentleman that I speak with every week, I walk along with every week, runs an international real estate firm that does it all to the glory of God. He has multiple lawsuits from evil people pending against him right now. And we both had a witness that two of these lawsuits, he's just going to dismount off that horse because there's no gain. He'd even be willing to pay a little bit to get out from under the burden of how this is taking him off his assignment into the main thing of the three that he needs to focus on. So I have literally just recently gone into a witness with a friend of mine that I speak with, like I say, every week, that he is not going to try to fix that old system. He's going to get off that dead horse and move on to new and different things. Now, here's one way you can ask a question on, am I still trying to put patches on an old system? Here's a very profound question you can ask yourself. Write down this question, because Jesus refused to patch old systems. And a question you could ask yourself on yours is this. If you are not already in this business, whatever business you're in, if you are not already doing this in this business, would you want to start a new business in your niche today? Is there enough upside in your niche, whatever you're doing? Would you start a business in this area today, knowing what you know now? And if the question is, no, I wouldn't come into this line of work, then it's probably time for you to stop patching old systems and see what the new wineskin is Jesus has for you. First, Jesus swam upstream. Second, Jesus refused to patch old systems. He brought an entirely new wineskin with him in his days on the earth. Number three, another way to be a marketplace disruptor like Jesus. Number three, Jesus drove real change. Real change. What do I mean by that? John 6:60 says, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, this is a hard teaching. Who can listen to it? Eat my flesh, drink my blood. That was real change. It wasn't just following 613 commandments. It was, no, you've got to completely, radically change. This is the new wineskin. May I exhort you that there are times in your business, in your career, in your jobs, that marginal, moderate change is just not enough. Sometimes you've got to promote transformational change. Sometimes that comes from the inside out. Radical transformational change is hard, but sometimes it's necessary for your maximum impact. Let me say that again. Sometimes radical transformational real change, it's hard, but sometimes it's absolutely necessary to maximize your impact for the kingdom. Once again, I'm living an example of that for you right in front of you. Going from the for-profit, what was very successful, I tried for years to patch the old system. Maybe I can get one more business keynote. Maybe I can get one more advising contract. And there were some big money contracts that I was dealing with not that many years ago. But every time I tried to patch an old system, instead of going and driving the real change I know I needed with the new wineskin, it never worked. The anointment had lifted. Jesus was waiting for me to step into this, what we're doing right now on the Unfair Advantage Show and more. This was the new wineskin. And it took me years to come to this conclusion, folks. Don't let it take that long. If you want to learn more about that and how, if you want to even reach out and contact me, email me at hello@drjimharris.com. Email me at hello@drjimharris.com. And let's see if we can start a conversation that maybe we can help you transform your way through the real change that you need. Sometimes we need partners. I needed partners to get through that. Five ways to be a marketplace disruptor like Jesus. Number one, Jesus swam upstream. He wasn't afraid to swim upstream against the grain. Number two, he refused to patch old systems. Number three, he drove real transformational change. The fourth way to be a marketplace disruptor. Jesus embraced unconventional approaches. He embraced these new unconventional approaches. Luke 9:3, when he said to them, "Take nothing on your journey." Think about this, businessmen and businesswomen. I travel all over the world. I've traveled all over the U.S. many times over the past 40 years. And Jesus said to them in Luke 9:3, his disciples, and he said to them, "Take nothing on your journey, no staff, nor bread, nor money, nor bag, and do not have two tunics. Just wear what you've got. Go to the airport. Don't buy a ticket. Just go." How many of you, if your boss said, "No, don't pack a suitcase. You don't need an airport and plane ticket. Just go to the airport and get on the plane." How many of you would say, "Yeah, I'm jumping at that possibility"? Yeah, right. He also said to the 72 disciples in Luke 10, the next chapter, he said, "Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals. Don't greet anyone on the road." He first did it with his 12, and then he did it with his 72. How would you like to have a boss that went on a business trip and said, "Don't take any money. You know, you're going to be taken care of"? How many of you would do that? How many? Not me. I would like to believe I would do that more now. I'd have more trust because he has given to me over and over. If I told you the miracle April we just had at Dr. Jim Harris Ministries, of new income, new wine, desires of our hearts being satisfied, you would be absolutely overblown. Maybe the Lord will give me one day to share with you the supernatural manifestation of miracles that I've experienced walking through and being honorable to him when I could have easily quit many times. It's not about me. It's just, okay, I wasn't going to quit in this new wineskin. And when he tells me to do the hard things, I've now seen that this type of disruption is not only sometimes not safe or unpredictable, but I'm willing to embrace it because he's been faithful and true to me. He has supplied all of my needs. He gives me the desires of my heart. He's giving me exceedingly abundantly above all I could imagine or think because I'm willing to go through these various stages and even embrace unconventional approaches. For me, unconventional is a weekly TV show. That's unconventional for me. And here we are, well into our second season, and we've just begun. There's more coming. Hang on. Hang on. There's more coming. I know you'll enjoy. So, embrace unconventional approaches. You've got to be willing to do that to be a marketplace disruptor. And five, Jesus invented the future. He did not redesign the past. Jesus invented the future. He did not redesign the past. Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." He didn't redesign the past. He invented the future. Just like Jesus, there may be an invention, a way, a twist, a new approach, a new niche within your niche that Jesus has been preparing for you if you're willing to possibly take his advice, follow him where he's guiding you, even though it doesn't make sense. Because just as Jesus, He honored the past, but he brought his followers into a glorious new tomorrow. So be willing to invent the future, not just redesign the past. So, is being a marketplace disruptor within your reach? Is that within your reach, Jim? That sounds good. But give me some examples. I'm going to give you four examples in the next 90 seconds of companies doing exactly what we're talking about. I worked with, and I know very well, an international tax and accounting firm based in California with global operations. What they do, one of their main foundational principles is to go the extra mile. They began in COVID for their clients what they called generosity pricing. That was their phrase, generosity pricing. They took on a case-by-case basis all of their international tax and accounting clients. And as the Holy Spirit led them, they offered to their clients, get this, saying, look, Holy Spirit has led us to lower our same fees to you for 6 months, 9 months, case-by-case basis. We call this generosity pricing. We want to keep you as a client, but we want to lower our monthly fee for a while so you can get back on your feet, get through COVID, then we'll come back. Who would have ever come up with generosity pricing if it wasn't being Spirit-led and being a marketplace disruptor in finance and accounting industry? And it has given them 100% return on their clients. Or about the national law firm that specializes in adoption, that when people are going to court and they're going in for, they're divorced, and it's about where the child goes. I want it. I want the child. The mother, the dad wants the child. Their approach is not to bring the divorce to fruition and then beat up the other side. Their approach is family restoration and healing. They pray as much for their clients, but also for the ones against their clients in court. In fact, they have seen supernatural miracles in the courtroom over adoptions and fights for adoptions in terms of healing, in terms of restoration, in terms of salvation, to the point that the way that they do business for adoption services is so profound. This company has changed California statutory law how to approach adoption under new and different ways that are godly and not just man-made. They're literally changing statutory law by swimming upstream and trying to reconcile families through what could be contentious adoption processes. Phenomenal story. A real estate developer whose number one goal is not to maximize profits, but to restore the land to the way Jesus had it, a restorative land to renovate and sell under the glory of God with this focus. How can everybody win? How can not only we be blessed, but how can we bless others in this who are actually buying the property? Their focus is not on just the dollars. Their focus is focused on being a blessing, and they have so much business they don't know what to do with. The last example, a friend of mine who went from traditional financial planning and investing in, as we do in America, 401ks and stocks and all the different various monetary firms, it was in his heart. He said, you know, a lot of these firms invest in ungodly companies, ungodly ways. And he's now an expert in biblically responsible investing, and everything he does now is through the lens of Holy Spirit and doing biblically wise investing only in firms that actually honor God and don't just blatantly go against God's word and God's wishes. Oh, and by the way, he beats market rates. He's beating every other financial return on investment firm that I know of. I happen to be a client of his. These examples of men and women that I know that I've worked with, they swam upstream and God is blessing them because they're willing to be marketplace disruptors within their own industry. So I end with this, an exhortation. Perhaps it's time for you to step back from what you're doing and how you're doing and say, Lord, am I really being called into being a marketplace disruptor? If so, it might be time for your business and you to spend time with the Lord and ask these five things. Lord, is it time for me to swim upstream? Is it time for me to stop patching old systems and prepare for a new wineskin? Is it time for me to drive real transformational change instead of just going along to get along in the ways my business has always done in my industry. Is it time for me to embrace some unconventional approaches that may be throne room revelations? And finally, are you asking me to help invent the future of my industry with a special anointment from you instead of just redesigning the past? If it is, these are five great questions to start your process, to launch you into becoming, perhaps, a business disruptor just like Jesus. And as I end, remember, Jesus opened up his ministry by bankrupting the evil money changers. There's a new way of economic systems in town. We're going to teach more on that. But that's, he also did that at the very end of his ministry when he was coming into Calvary. He also came and said, nope, guys, you haven't gotten it yet. I'm bankrupting you again. He did it twice in his 3.5-year ministry. He bankrupted the evil economic system with a new kingdom system. We're going to learn more, a lot more about that as we go forward on the Unfair Advantage Show. I hope this has been an interesting little study for you. I hope this has given you something to think about, to chew on, to pray over, to intercede over. And as your revelations come to you, let me know how this has helped you. Let me know the questions you might have. Email me at hello@drjimharris.com. Let's start a connection, a dialogue on how this has helped you or challenged you and the questions you have on how to be a marketplace disruptor. Hope you've enjoyed it. We'll see you on the next Unfair Advantage Show. Thanks for joining me today.